Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Diary, September 18, 97, Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales, Australia. September 1 to 30, 1897. See also, Manuscript 70, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in 2OMR 37-38, 4BIO 329-330. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. I could not sleep longer than 12:30. I thought best to arise, dress, and seek the Lord, and then I wrote 13 pages of important matter before daylight, for brother and sister Miller and brethren Daniels, Colcord, Salisbury, and Falkhead. Elder Haskell visited me, and we counseled together in regard to the chapel building. Everything seems to work in lines of advance without hindrance. American mail came by Vancouver boat. It was a small mail. Nothing from Willie, either to May White or myself. While I was reading the mail, a woman from Dora Creek came up with her baby for instruction on what to do for the child. Elder Wilson and his wife called, and I read letters to them from Dr. Kellogg, which they were very glad to hear. A telegram was received that Sister Miller was relieved by my telegraph return. I sent portions of scripture and words from me that the Lord loved her, and His everlasting arms are beneath her to strengthen her. I hope the letter sent this morning will be a blessing to her. I have written to them both, which will reach them Friday noon. Received letter from Elder Daniels. Sunnyside, Corranbong, New South Wales. I awakened at 3:30. I arose from my bed, dressed, and asked the Lord to help and strengthen me, and to give me wisdom and His grace to help me in every time of need. Now is my time of need. I must hear the Word of God. I commenced writing to finish some things sent yesterday morning. Sent letters to brother and sister Miller, a letter to brother Davis, a letter to brethren Daniels, Colcord, Salisbury, and Falkhead. Sarah and I rode to post office. We went to see the child that was brought to our house yesterday that was sick. Sarah prescribed for her, and the mother followed the prescription. We learned today the child was relieved. Another woman came running out, a young woman with a babe 4 weeks old. She needed some counsel because the child could not retain the food from the mother's breast. A few questions were asked. "Do you not put your child to the breast whenever it cries?" She said she did. "And you work hard and get tired and then nurse your little one?" Yes, she did. Then a little counsel was given to observe regular periods to nurse her child, not oftener than 2 or 3 hours. The child was stuffed full, and it was a mercy that it could throw up that which the stomach could not retain. There is so great ignorance among mothers as to how to care for their children properly. The mother promised to heed the suggestions. The father of the first child that had appealed for help asked me if we did not receive pay for our trouble. We told him no, we did not do the work for pay, only to relieve suffering humanity as Christ did when He was in our world. They seemed very thankful. As soon as this case was off our hands and we were nearly home, we learned a messenger had come for Sarah to see if she could come to see a suffering boy who had stepped in a hole where there was a broken bottle and had cut his foot fearfully. She went in the house for flannel fomentation cloths, Vaseline, and several necessary articles with which to work, turned her horse, and was away again. She found a very aggravated case. It had been hurt 2 weeks, was fearfully cut, and proud flesh was revealed. Sunnyside, Corranbong. Calling to recollection light given in 1875, while in California, in reference to Australia and the standard of truth there to be uplifted. I arose from my bed at 3:15 and tried to consider what I must write. I then submitted myself to God to be guided and controlled by His Holy Spirit. I cannot choose myself the best way to work in most difficult places, but the Lord can choose for me, for He seeth and knoweth from cause to effect. I long for the light and love and presence of God, that I may have the same spirit that Christ had in His work. Brother Rob wished the loan of our horses and platform wagon and working trap to move their goods. So all 3 horses were in use, only 1 was left for me. Sarah drove my horse and single carriage to the school, and I talked with the students above 1 hour, reading some things which were revealed to me in 1875 in reference to the work that had to be done in California. And I was shown, at that time, that the work must go to Australia, and the standard of truth be there uplifted, that we had a worldwide message. Australia was a world of itself. We know the students have been trying to follow the light given them. I urged them calmly to consider why they were here studying. What was their object? Was it that they might be young men that would be sober-minded, that they might be agents for God to use, co-workers with Jesus Christ? Said John, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. 1 John 2, verse 14. You are God's chosen instruments to carry forward the highest class of work ever given to mortals, to seek and to save that which is lost. Be sober-minded. Rise up to the due appreciation of your high calling. Ponder well the paths of your feet, for you are stepping on holy ground. Begin your life work with high and holy ends in view. You have no time to lose. Yoke up now with Christ. Brother Wilson took me with Brother Husk's horse and carriage to my house. Sarah visited the afflicted sick boy whose foot and ankle were so badly mangled. She found the poor suffering one weary and distressed. He is only 8 years old. He was crying. Oh, she does not come. She will not come today. Oh, I want her to come. Oh, what will I do? She opened the door and he was pleased. She remained with him until noon, ministering to that suffering foot. The blood poisoning must not be allowed to advance. She left him quietly sleeping, but the house is full of noisy children, and they run against his bed and jar his foot. She went again in the evening. I told her to take the child and bring him to our home. We would treat him under better circumstances. In case of necessity, our house shall be used as a hospital. Sunnyside, Corinbong, written after the Sabbath. I thank my Heavenly Father for rest and sleep. I slept until 3:30. I spent a little time in meditation and sending up my petition to heaven for His grace and for His Holy Spirit to be present with us in our work, which is now going on in this place, fitting up the place here. We feel very much the need of divine help. I attended the meeting in the upper story of the large building. The room can seat no more, and chairs are stowed in every space in the room. Every seat was filled, and the atmosphere was oppressive. I spoke to the people from Revelation 3, speaking upon the whole chapter. I felt the Spirit and power of the Lord upon me. We then had a social meeting, after singing, When the Mist Has Rolled Away. This was sung with earnestness and fervor, by many, I knew, with the Spirit and understanding also. I had made most earnest appeals to the congregation before me. I spoke of the necessity of our students knowing that there was a right side and a wrong side. In Noah's day, the largest number chose the wrong side. The world has gone mad under the training and inspiration of Satan. They are sustaining and giving popularity to sin and transgression of the law of God. But this does not in the least demerit or lessen the force of one principle of Jehovah. It is of the highest consequence that young men and young women should be on the right side. This morning, we did such kind of work as Christ would have done had he been in our world. We harnessed our team, and Sarah went to visit the suffering boy with the cut foot. She took the mother and the boy to Mrs. May White's, my daughter-in-law's, close by our own house. The boy enjoyed the pure air and the ride in the easy phaeton. Then Sarah had conveniences to dress the afflicted limb. She greatly feared at first that he would lose his limb, but by working with it twice a day for hours with hot compresses, the pain was removed and the poor little sufferer, who had not slept day or night, fell into slumber, saying to Sarah's words, Now try to go to sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. Until he was fast asleep. Sunnyside, Corinbong. I have had a precious sleep. Thank the Lord for this blessing. I awoke at 2:30 a.m. I offered up praise and thanksgiving to God in my bed before rising. I felt that my heart panted after God, as the heart panteth after the water brooks. I offered up my request with thanksgiving and praise. I arose and dressed, and then bowed before God to commit the keeping of my soul to Him, who is merciful and full of love and tender compassion. His loving kindness faileth not. If I am the Lord's chosen instrument to do good to poor souls who need counsel, I must first be instructed myself. I must ask of him the living water. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. John 4, verse 14. If I receive this water and drink of it, I can then impart to others the knowledge of my experience and urge them to come to the living fountain, that they may drink of this water of life. Sister Robertson, a woman who has embraced the truth in a family where all her relatives are opposers, came to me after the meeting yesterday and related her experience of dissatisfaction with herself, her inability to believe the Lord would bless her. I tried to show her that while she had distrust of herself, she must not distrust and disbelieve the power of Christ to keep her and save her, because this was dishonoring her Redeemer. Her very sense of helplessness to lift up and heal herself made her the one whom Christ would compassionate and help and make free. She caught the idea and declared, "I do love Jesus, and He does love me." She praised the Lord, and her countenance was all aglow with hope and happiness. I attended the morning meeting, spoke, and read articles from typewriting. Then some bore testimony. I prayed at close of meeting and came home. Brother Rob has just come from the station, where he went to meet his wife and children. They are taking dinner with us. Nine compose the family. We shall have an addition to our school, bringing it up to 100. Our meeting room is very uncomfortable, for want of ventilation and room for all that come. Sabbath school numbers 115. The Lord is good, and this school has been a success. We sincerely hope the chapel will be erected without delay. All are pressing the work as fast as possible. We are having beautiful weather, all clear and bright, not too warm or too cool. I am weary and must have rest. I cannot, I fear, attend these meetings, all of them. May the Lord prepare hearts for doing of His work and fit souls for His kingdom is our prayer. The sick lad we are taking care of is improving, but he still needs almost constant attention. He slept quietly last night, most of the night. Monday, September 6th, 1897. Sunnyside, Currambong, New South Wales. I awoke at 3:15 and rose and dressed and asked the Lord for wisdom and counsel of God. Oh, how much we need genuine faith! How little faith is now exercised, and how greatly we need faith every hour. I see a paper under my door. I read it, and the writing is Elder Haskell's. It says there will be a morning meeting at 5:30 a.m. at the school building. Come. I will go, but what can I say to our people to present faith in so simple a manner that they, the inexperienced, can take hold of it? 7:00 a.m. We have just come from morning meeting of prayer. We had something to say upon faith and prayer, showing how faith must mingle with all our prayers and there must be watching unto prayer. We must never lose sight of the object of our prayers. We had a good attendance, and the Lord blessed us as we tried to lay out the exercise of faith before them. Some testimony evidenced that the heart work was deepening. Oh, how much we need an experimental knowledge of God and Jesus Christ whom He hath sent, which is eternal life. May the Lord grant that we may feel our need of His mercy and His love. We are very thankful to our Heavenly Father that the 8-year-old boy Sarah has taken under her care is certainly improving. She gives her whole attention to the lad. She works over that most terribly wounded foot, fomenting it with hot flannels, poulticing it with charcoal and flax seed. Maggie Hare went to help Sarah, and when she looked at the foot, its appearance was so terrible she just fainted dead away. His own father came to see him last Sunday. He had one look, and he could endure no more, turned and went out into the air. But Sarah just works over it, and we know it is improving. He cannot eat anything but a little fruit. He has not slept until Sarah took him in hand and worked over him. He slept last night the best he has done yet. Poor little fellow, his life will be saved through the attention given him. He delights in riding out and is greatly soothed. His aunt holds him in her arms and enjoys his rides in the open air so much. I shudder as I think what must have been the poor boy's fate if Sarah had not been called to him. Sunnyside, Currambong, New South Wales. I cannot sleep past 2 o'clock this morning. I dress and ask the Lord's special blessing to rest upon me. Then I take my pen to write upon the life of Christ. I was glad to have an interview with Brother Haskell. We had some important things to talk about. I have not had time to visit the place where our meeting house is being built. They are working all the hands they can get in the framework of the building. Elder Haskell is of good courage. He says the morning meetings are good. I am glad that he is on the ground. He has had an experience in the advance movements of the work when the cause was much more limited than it is now. Then we were educated not to wait until we could see every step before us, but to move out by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
We are not to be slow and undecided at a time when circumstances demand that we move, although we may not see the end from the beginning. When there is a work to be done, and minds are moved to action, to arise and build, Nehemiah 2, verse 20, it behooves us, when the help is at hand, to avail ourselves of every expedient and every suggestion that will help us to push to work of building as rapidly as possible, that we may have a house prepared to dedicate to the Lord at the close of the school term. Then the students can carry away with them the word that the chapel is built and preparations made to accommodate all who will worship God. Here we breathe the free, pure air, and all who come to reside at Currambong may get a quiet home, away from the noise and bustle of the city. There is work to be done here. Sarah has been engaged in medical missionary work since last Wednesday. We find those who meet with mishaps and know not what to do. One child, away in the bush, was fearfully burned and could not sleep. Sarah attended to the wound, and the child recovered. Another lad, 8 years old, stepped into a hole where was some broken glass and cut his ankle in a most dreadful manner. We brought him to our home and are now giving him treatment. He is recovering. Maggie Hare fainted away after looking at the terrible wound. September 8, 1897. Sunnyside, Currambong. This morning it was almost 3 o'clock when I awoke. I had my season of prayer and then wrote 10 pages to the New Zealand Mail. Sarah was called away to attend Sister James. Her child, a son, was born early this morning. She felt full of gratitude to God for her safe delivery with so easy a time. Never before has she suffered so little. She has now 2 boys and 4 girls. I find myself nervous and tired through anxiety in many lines. But the Lord is good. I praise His holy name. Through the sickness of Sister James, Sarah was kept away from the sick boy a little longer than usual. He moaned constantly. When will she come? When will she come? When Sarah had taken a bite, she went across to May White's house to care for him. The proud flesh is now being conquered, and only a mite of it is left. Brother Haskell called for a few moments and reported that they had a good meeting this morning at the school. He wished me to be present on Thursday morning. He also reports that the building is going up, and that all the workers are laboring cheerfully and heartily as unto the Lord. We had a nice shower last night, and another slight rain this morning, but the building has not been hindered. The lady living about 3 miles off has brought her sick baby to us again. She lives in an open house and says that her baby was doing well under the treatment, but that it suddenly had another attack, and she knows not what to do. We invited her to take one of the 2 rooms above the storeroom, and we would make her comfortable and give her child treatment. But as her sister lives within 1 mile of us, she decided to go there. Sister Rob promised to give the child treatment. Sarah has Sister James and her baby and the sick boy to attend to, and these can in no case be neglected. The lad's aunt also has a swollen foot, which is being treated. We shall have to build a hospital on the school grounds. Sunnyside, Currambong. It was 4 o'clock this morning soon after I awoke. I dressed and lifted my earnest prayer to God for His blessing to rest upon me. I greatly desire a large measure of grace to communicate to others who need counsel and encouragement. Oh, so many are walking in the shadow of the cross. So many are saying, "Oh, I wish I knew where I might find Him, that I might come even to His seat."
Job 23, verse 3. My prayer is, teach me to help the needy, O God. Teach me how to lead and guide souls. The good work is going on in the school. All find that proper restraint and discipline are the very best thing for the students. Indulgence and halfway measures are not right or good in their influence. When all understand that they must obey the rules of discipline, then they are far more settled and happy. The Tahitian, the son of a prince, has been in the school about 5 weeks. He is now anxiously studying the scriptures, especially the Sabbath question. He says next term he will get other young men of his people to come to the school. They have money and can learn what he is learning. He is sharp and keen to discern the truth. The half-breed, Sister Nicholas, is learning the truth fast. She has been a missionary in Tahiti. She came with the young man, son of a prince. I do not know one in the school who has any feelings of rebellion. All are deeply moved by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is working all. This day, May White is 23 years old. Sister Wilson called on me this afternoon. We had a profitable talk together. We are having beautiful weather to carry forward the building. They will have it partially undercover today. Sunnyside, Korenbong. I arose from sleep at 3 a.m., dressed, and after a season of prayer, commenced writing. I thought not best to speak at the school in the morning. I was surprised to see Brother Haskell, for I thought he was in Sydney. The things he was going to Sydney for had come and were here on the ground, where the chapel is being built. We conversed in regard to the propriety of having a canvassers' institute here at Korenbong, the last of the school. We decided that after shortening the school 2 weeks, it was not best to do this. There is a deep moving of the Spirit of God among the students, and hearts are turning unto the Lord. We are highly pleased with the school because of the evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit upon hearts. We cannot see how much good seed has been sown. If there is one student who has a disposition to speak in any line disrespectful of the school, it will be because his own heart needs the sanctifying influence of the Spirit of God. There are a few who have felt dissatisfied with the restraints because of the most earnest efforts not to allow association between girls and boys, and this dissatisfaction will be manifested by disregarding the rules. If the boys and girls loved the Lord Jesus, they would be under the influence of His Holy Spirit and would choose to carry themselves with modesty and sobriety. They would maintain their own integrity, and there would be no need of these rules. But so long as they will, at every chance they can get, act out the desire to be in association, the girls with the young men and the young men with the girls, there must be a large responsibility upon the teachers to keep the young men and women from forming attachments. If the students have come to the school to study, to put in their time earnestly, and be prepared to act in home duties and in missionary work, they must consecrate all their faculties to improvement. But some youth need far less looking after than others. Sunnyside, Korenbong. I spoke to the people assembled from 2 Peter 1. The Lord blessed me while speaking. The meeting room was full. The presence of the Lord was in our assembly, although the seats were not comfortable and the atmosphere was not the best. Yet it was the best we could do, so we tried to brace ourselves to endure that which could not be avoided. The testimony meeting was good. Many youth bore testimony. The two from whom we had experienced the most trouble testified. The Lord had put a new song into their mouths, even praise to His name. They said the past week had been the best week they had ever had in their lives, and they meant all that they said. Sunnyside, Korenbong. Carpenters at work on creating our church. The weather is still fair. If the Lord favors us so that we can get the house of worship sided up, how thankful we will be. No rain has fallen in the daytime, with the exception of one shower. 2 nights rain fell, but the workmen were able to keep at the building during the day. Brother Thompson came from Prospect today. He is a first-class carpenter. We have 6 first-class carpenters at work now on the building, besides several who are not as experienced. The roof goes on the main part of the building today. The Lord is in this matter. I do not know a circumstance like this. At the present time, there are 6 first-class carpenters, besides as many more carpenters at work under them,
and several other workers doing what they can in other lines. There was an excellent meeting this morning at 5:30. Several pledged more work. Truly the hand of God is in this matter. Has not the Lord seen our necessities and provided for us? Every man, in the providence of God, was right here on the ground. Brother Thompson was out of work. He solicited a brother to remember him. He had no work and would like to go to Korenbong. This is the first man that came from another place. Had we dallied and waited in unbelief, these men would have been at work in other places, and we would have been obliged to take up with workmen of an inferior order and demanding more money. Oh, I feel so thankful that we did not delay one day. Had we done this, some men would have been in Sydney and employed. The prospect is that we will have the house finished in 3 weeks. This day I rode over to the school. Wrote 20 pages today for American Mail. Sunnyside, Korenbong. I was awakened at 3 a.m. and I wrote 11 pages of letter paper this morning for the mail. Sarah and I rode down to the post office. This is a very warm day. We waited some time before the post office opened. Elder Haskell called, and we had some interesting talk in regard to the chapel that is being built, in which those may assemble who worship God. We rejoiced and praised the Lord together for His great goodness and mercy and love manifested to us in this our time of need. We would both converse a little and then praise the Lord. Elder Haskell took dinner with us. Sarah has just opened a deep gathering on the little boy's foot that has been so deeply wounded. It healed, but the opposite side has swollen and seemed ready to break. After poulticing it some days, Sarah opened it, and there streamed out a quantity of black blood and corrupted matter. He seems anxious to return home, and Sarah has given her consent that he should go this afternoon, and she will go and see him once each day as long as is necessary. Brother Tucker has brought us quite a large mail. We are glad that in a few weeks we shall see W.C. White again. May has been very patient over his long absence. We see some things that are sad and some things that are encouraging. I feel deeply over the brethren who are experienced leaving Battle Creek. I think it a decided mistake for Elder Olson to go and leave the cause that his own attitude has imperiled and the men he has sustained in their wrong course of action and given influence among the people. These men were not connected with God or sanctified in any way to do the work Elder Olson encouraged them to do. Oh, how my heart aches when I think of these things. It is a sad picture, very sad, and that Brother Olson is in the line of his duty to leave the seat of war just now has no appearance to me of being true, brave, or honorable. He has been an unfaithful Aaron, and he could have at least tried to restore the things he has made weak and ready to die. Sunnyside, Korenbong. This morning I awakened thankful to my Heavenly Father for a good night's sleep. I feared last evening that after the perusal of the American Mail I should not sleep, but I have slept. Looking at my watch, it is 3:30. The Lord is good to me. He guards me in the night season. He gives me rest in sleep. I commit myself to God with thanksgiving and ask Him to bless and keep me through the day. I cannot keep myself. I must be kept by Thy power, O my Heavenly Father. My soul longs after God. I want to realize His presence ever with me. I must be led and instructed every hour. I can say from the heart, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. 2 Timothy 1:12. The whole of the Old Testament Scriptures is the voice of the blood of Christ. The whole of the New Testament Scriptures is the blood of Jesus Christ. Abel's blood testified of the blood of Christ. The entire New Testament Scriptures speak better things than the blood of Abel. We are purchased by Christ's blood. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Sunnyside, Korenbong, New South Wales. I am in an exhausted state. I have used my powers too much in writing. I am unable to soothe my brain now. I must rest my mind.
The Lord is gracious unto me, and I am very thankful to our Heavenly Father that I am usually blessed with strength and health to write largely. The Lord is very merciful to me. My strength comes from Him. Sarah and I rode to Martinsville for oranges. We were unable to get the fruit where we usually obtain it. The poor afflicted man has injured himself in falling and is quite sick and helpless. There was no one to pick the oranges for us. We rode to Mr. Coolda's and could get only 5 dozen. Then we came back to Martinsville and obtained all we wanted at another place. We took with us the children, May's babies, and we enjoyed the ride. I received a letter from Brother Daniels, an excellent letter. He had visited Brother Davis. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. We had an interview with Brother and Sister Wilson. Brother Wilson is improving in health. I thank the Lord for this. They are much encouraged. May the Lord spare their lives is my prayer, for such faithful souls are of great value. I had let Sister Wilson have dress goods costing £1. She presented the pound to me, and when I told her the dress was a present, she wept like a child. Brother Wilson has been unable to labor as usual for some months, and any favor shown them is as if shown to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Inasmuch as ye have done kindness and favor to my chosen ones, ye have, said Christ, done it unto me. Matthew 25, verse 40. Oh, the Lord would have us cultivate kindness and compassion for one another. Brother Haskell, Sarah, and I rode to the depot to Morissette. We were en route for Sydney. We had a pleasant passage and arrived at Summerhill Station past 10 o'clock. No one to meet us. Summerhill, Sydney, New South Wales.
I find myself wearied. Sarah and I purchased a few things in a drapery store at Summerhill. Friday forenoon brethren came to see me and talk with me. Had a long talk with Brother Baker, also with Brother Simmons, later on. Sarah spent the day in Sydney getting her teeth fixed. In the evening, Brethren Simmons, Haskell, Baker, and Brandstater met in my room, and we had conversation upon many things. Without doubt, this was the means of my reviewing the situation of my money matters, being deprived of money by mismanagement of my brethren that leaves me handicapped, that I cannot do the works I greatly desire to do in relation to the advancement of the work of God in this country. It was a severe conflict to silence the suggestions and temptations of the devil. He seemed to be present, seeking to imbue my mind with dwelling upon the management of my money matters that presented before me so many things that are taking money from me, that should not be done. I found in the morning I was weak. I had wrestled and prayed for hours for the Lord to lift up a standard for me against the enemy, and let him not oppress my soul and drive me to have thoughts that I could not trust anyone, that if they had a chance they would draw money from me and would, in order to do this, involve me in debt that would be a severe burden to me. W.C. White was, I feared, doing this, and my burdens seemed greater than I could stand under. The Lord heard my prayer and gave me the quietude I needed. I slept until 3:30. But although the atmosphere of my mind was clear, I was physically weak. I dared not attend meeting on Sabbath. I knew Brother Haskell could do this. Summerhill, Sydney, New South Wales. The history of this day is on the page before this. I spent the day mostly lying down, contemplating writing a little upon the resurrection of Christ. I was weak as a wilted plant. Sarah left for meeting because I assured her she could do so. In the evening, Brethren Baker and Haskell called to see me. Sarah went out to the store in Summerhill to purchase some things after the Sabbath was ended. I was awake at 3 a.m. and wrote several pages, but I feel the need of vital energy, which I have not. I dread the idea of going to Strathfield and there changing cars and then having to walk up and down the steps to get to the platform. The porter at the station assisted us to a ladies' compartment, but it was full of men, boys, women, and children. The porter had the men and the larger boys leave the ladies' compartment. We then, Sarah and I, had room and were comfortable. Soon we were left all to ourselves, but again the door opened, and Mrs. Martin and her youngest daughter stepped in. She was going to Kurenbong, so we had company all the way. I was so exhausted I had to lie down nearly all the way.
I slept some. Our team was not at the station, but got there after we had waited a short time. Then Sister Haskell came for her husband, but we had not room in the carriages, and Brother James and another brother walked to our home. I was very much pleased to get to my home once more. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I slept until 2 o'clock, and then found I could not sleep longer. I arose and dressed and commenced writing. I am quite weak now. I am not discouraged, but I do long and pray for strength. Had conversation with Mrs. Martin in reference to the school. The Lord led me out in prayer and gave me freedom and His blessing. How I wish this woman would be a true believer. I pray the Lord that His Holy Spirit will melt away her opposition to the truth. Some victory is gained in that 2 of her daughters are attending school. The youngest said, "I think the school is so nice, and I want to attend it next term." I think the Lord will work upon this woman's heart. She seemed to enjoy her visit very much, and I kept my heart uplifted to God that His Holy Spirit might impress and work her mind and she become truly converted. Cressy took her to the station with our horse and carriage. My heart yearns for the soul of this woman. Brother Shaw desired to see me, but I had no strength and had to say, "Excuse me," through Sarah. I rode to Morissette Station. We took the twins with us. They enjoyed the ride very much, but most of the time they were asleep. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I awoke at 3 o'clock and wrote on the life of Christ until breakfast time, then went to Morissette for a box of lemons to be sent to Brother Martin. The lemons are for planting the seeds to raise young trees to be prepared to be grafted.
Mrs. Martin came on horseback to see Sarah and to tell her that her brother-in-law, of whom we buy oranges, is very sick. He cannot bend one limb. It is stiff. He met with an accident years ago and was torn and bruised, and it has left him a wreck of humanity. He cannot comprehend what you say unless it is motioned out to him. He fell and hurt himself and has suffered from the injured limb with gatherings. Sarah told Mrs. Martin how to treat the limb with flaxseed poultices and with disinfected Vaseline, which she provided for her. Thus we are called upon if there is any sickness in any family around. The question was, shall he be taken to the hospital? Sarah said she would visit him as soon as she could, but if they would give him hot water fomentations and flaxseed poultices and charcoal poultices, it would be more than they would do for him at the hospital. The man is as feeble in mind as a child, and the thought of going to the hospital is a great terror to him. He wants just to stay in his one little room, 12 by 12. Sunnyside, Currumbong. Awoke at 3 o'clock and commenced my writing. My state of exhaustion will not permit me to do much writing, for my mind seems very tired. It is cloudy and threatens to rain. May Lacey White, Sarah, and Edith go to Newcastle. They take the babies with them. I go with them to the Dora Creek station and drive the team back. I am trying to keep out of doors all that I can, for this relieves my head. I am distressed that our ministers make long prayers in their service and preach a discourse to the Lord, and everything is brought into the prayers but the fervency of the Holy Spirit. Shall we have less preaching and prayers? Less preaching and more beseeching, more heart earnestness, as needy, dependent, sinful human nature needs. Prayer is a holy exercise of the soul, and should consist as supplication from a pure heart, softened and subdued, and drawn out after God for a renewal of His Holy Spirit, from a humble heart, seeking the correct understanding of truth. When the soul loses sight of self, it is evidence that it is in communion with God. Let us educate ourselves that prayer is a sacred, pure, solemn exercise, in which the human being of the dust is in communion with God. There is no exhibition of self, but we are to tell the Lord what we desire for our soul's interest. He says, "Ask, and ye shall receive." John 16, verse 24. Take right hold of God, whom we need. One of the most unprofitable exercises in prayer is to get the head in the hands, and then whisper out a prayer so that but few can hear the words spoken. Do not do this anywhere except in private, alone with God. When you pray at the family altar, come with holy boldness to the throne of grace,
where we have been invited to come and make known our requests unto God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16. Praying is to be short, right to the point, as a religious exercise. There is too much rambling in prayer in public. Singing is to be with the spirit and understanding, also making melody to God. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Awoke at 3 o'clock. After a season of prayer, I commenced writing and worked very earnestly until 11:30. Elder Haskell then came to see me and tarried until after dinner. We had some profitable conversation. Sarah promised to visit a poor sick man at Martinsville. He fell and hurt himself, and the poor man every year has gatherings in his limb. Years ago he was thrown from a cart and so terribly bruised he was not expected to live, but his life was spared. His power of speech is so imperfect it is difficult to understand what he says. He has a little place and a few orange trees. We generally buy our oranges of this poor soul. We drove 6 miles, and there were several in the one little room of the house. He told Sarah by motioning that the sore had broken and had run powerfully. This she interpreted by his motions. She was convinced that they had done all they could and success had attended their efforts. They were much relieved at the result of following the directions given. Sarah patiently worked out all the bad, poisonous matter she could, and then poulticed the limb and left him expressing his joy like a little child. We did not get home until about dark.
We find much to be done for the afflicted ones. My prayer is, give me strength, O God, that I may do all my duty faithfully. When I speak before the unconverted in the open air, to arouse them to conviction, I am deeply impressed that the church needs to be awakened into activity and earnestness to speak words in season to souls perishing out of Christ. I have felt on every occasion that earnestness and fervor as if standing before the great white throne. When are those who know the truth going to be stirred up to plead earnestly for sinners to come to Jesus that he may take away their sins? Oh, the unbelief of Christians is the great hindrance to the church, for it is a crime before God. We do not take him at his word, believing that he will do all that he has promised. Shall we not be more earnest with sinners? The religion of Christ is to be the main business of our lives. I cannot sleep after 1 o'clock a.m. My soul is drawn out in earnest prayer to God, and I do take hold of his word. This is my only strength, my only help, and his word is sure as the throne of God. It can never, never fail. September 25, 1897. Again, I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. I arise and dress. I feel that God is my only helper. He knows what I need, and he can supply every necessity. I come to my Heavenly Father in my weakness. I fall helpless, strengthless, upon His mercy. He is my all and in all, the first, the last, the best in everything. I cast my helpless soul upon Him, and I am comforted and blessed. Although weak, I attended meeting. The room was full of people, and there was not vitality in the air, but I had strength to speak to them and entreat of them to seek the Lord with their whole heart. I told them that Jesus, our precious Savior, is only too willing to be found by all who seek Him sincerely. We had a very precious testimony meeting. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. Again, I could not sleep past 1 o'clock, and I arose and commenced writing after my season of prayer. The load of lumber came in Friday evening. It remained until this morning. The work on the chapel has been nearly suspended for 10 days, waiting for the lumber. The work will now go on rapidly. I visited Sister Hardy. Sarah and I found her sick. We feel very sorry for her, for she has too many cares and burdens on her, looking after hens, chickens, and ducks, and milking the cows. Sunnyside, Currumbong, New South Wales. I awakened at 3:15. I wish I could sleep easier. This is mail day, but I can write but one letter, to my son, Edson.
I called my copyist at 4:30 to set the typewriter at work to copy for me. I have not been able to write. I am glad when the mail goes. Now I am relieved. I could not use my head to write much in the forenoon. In afternoon, I wrote several pages. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I thank my Heavenly Father I have been able to sleep some hours. Awoke at 1 o'clock. Letters have to be written to Norfolk Island. We know not when the boat shall leave, but will not delay the matter. Will write at once, and be sure not to disappoint them. I write to Brother Knobs and to Belden. I send communications which I know will please them, isolated as they are on the island. Received letters of inquiry in the mail from Elder Daniels of Melbourne, in reference to camp meeting, demanding immediate answer. I wrote him several pages in response, earnestly urging upon them all to seek the Lord most earnestly, to pray, and watch unto prayer. We have too little faith. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I could not sleep past 1 o'clock. I arose and dressed and urged my petitions to the Lord God of heaven for His counsel and direction. I long for heavenly wisdom. I pant after God as the hart panteth after the water brooks. I am so glad I have written without delay to Belden and Brother Knobs. I find it best to be in season. The paper advertises the boat to leave this day, and my letters are mailed today. Elder Haskell called upon me today, and we had some talk upon important matters. I read to him letters received from Brother Daniels, his communication to me, and mine to him in response. Was called off from my writing to see Sister Hare and her mother. Had a pleasant interview with them. Sunnyside, Kurenbong. I praise my Heavenly Father. I retired at 7:30 and slept soundly most of the time until 3:30. This is a great blessing to me, which I appreciate. My mind is so full of matter to write upon that I cannot sleep after I once awaken and my train of thought begins. I must write. Else I shall lose the immediate and forcible impressions made upon my mind. It is a beautiful morning. The sky is clear and the atmosphere cool and bracing. In the night season, I was in an assembly, listening to one of authority in regard to the education in the home as well as the school. Our children, I thought, had been repeating something that had transpired at school, which had become magnified by repetition. The instructor said, "Home life should bring the rays of sunshine from the sun of righteousness. The conversation at the table should be cheerful. There should be no evil surmising or selfishness. The best construction should be put on the doings of any member of the family. No gossip should be permitted to go from the home to talk and tell tidbits said and little things done. Neither should the home sanction the members of the family criticizing the teachers, the matron, or the Bible teachers. If this thing is permitted, there is an evil done, an injustice to the students, injustice to the teachers, injustice to me. The Spirit of the Lord is grieved. Those who engage in this unconsecrated use of their tongues need a converted tongue, but the tongue will never be converted until they have a converted heart. Then they will express the fullness of the unmerited favor of God as the source of our salvation, and all its blessings will be brought within our reach. When the Lord does a special work upon the hearts and bodies of those in need, He says, 'Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee.' Every true son and daughter of God may do this work safely, and it will be the right way to do." Mark 5, verse 19.